broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio with hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. This is the broadcast for July 31st in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is hour two at two in the goal always. To protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we reject revolution but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Our hour with Lil Nelson was a little bit depressing last hour. Senator Ted Cruz rallying for Chris Herod. And we think Chris is a good guy and the best candidate to replace Jason Chapin, but we're concerned when Ted Cruz runs in support of the guy. We talked about the CD3 debate in Provo, literally a debate letting you know which candidates are viable, but they're all part of the private Republican Party. I know we take that for granted in America that parties are the way it is, but you know what? We reject partisan politics. So did our founders, by the way. And the DEA takes Utah to court trying to get the Utah State, what do they call this thing, drug prescription database? Wow. Scary stuff. Where's Donald when you need him? Senator Mike Lee disagrees with Jeff Sessions on asset forfeiture or asset seizure. Good for Mike Lee. Tragic. In my opinion, for the side of Jeff Sessions. I think Jeff ought to be fired over this asset forfeiture stuff personally. But I don't see Donald doing anything. Because Donald's all talk, folks. Haven't you figured that out by now? Welcome to the broadcast. Kirk Cosby is with me. Hello, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. And I say Donald's all talk, and I'll give you examples to make my point, Kurt. You know, Donald is really like, hey, man, I don't want you senators to give up on health care. Keep working on it, man. Repeal immediately. But there's a lot of things Donald could be doing to get rid of government health care right now, Kurt. Do you have any ideas on what could be done?
Well, I mean, you basically just tout the things that are really working. At least in my opinion, you tout the way it was before government health care. You tout the way it is in countries that have that, where it's, you know, long hours and delays and not really the service that you want, people dying, you know, that kind of thing. I would say there's a number of ways that you promote it. Promote the right kind of free enterprise system, the American way, and you, you know, go against this so-called one-payer system that they want to promote.
Yeah, they're working on it. In fact, the Democrats are really cranking their side of the equation up now that Republicans have lost the moral high ground on this. They've melted down. The Democrats are really trying to push that. But what Donald could do, in my opinion, is he could just simply say, look, we're going to reduce the subsidies. What would the Congress do? Kurt, challenge him? Would the Republicans just say, no, we're going to force those subsidies, Donald?
Probably let the do Ryan it, McConnell guys would, you know what I mean?
Let them do it, though. Let Donald stand up and say we're gonna reduce these subsidies because, look, you can't steal from one to pay for another. You could have an epic discussion about legalized plunder in America, about, look, you cannot steal from one American to give to another, and that's what this redistribution of wealth, a.k.a. health care plan, does, and I'm going to reduce or eliminate completely the subsidies. Let the Republican Congress promote those subsidies against the Donald. Let's see that epic battle go down, Kurt, because you'll know what the Republicans really are doing, what they really stand for, or they'll back away and Donald will win. Doesn't even matter which, because you'll know who's who so blatantly as they promote socialism and stand with the Democrats so hard against the Donald. And Donald will just say, look, I'm getting rid of these subsidies. It's not right. We don't have the right for legalized plunder in America. And you could set up one of the most epic discussions about the proper role of limited government, what it has authority to do and not to do. But Donald's too busy tweeting somebody's ugly. You ugly, right? To get that done. See, that's the problem. But literally all Donald Trump would have to do is instead of demanding Republican senators keep working on health care before moving to work on something else. Why don't we just do that, Kurt? Why don't we just defund? Now, there's a poll out, Kurt, that says the majority of Americans want Congress to move out and move on and do something else rather than health care reform. There's a poll out by Reuters. Do you think that's true? See, I don't.
Well, you know, you got to remember how they do these polls, at least in my opinion. And as you've taught us for so long, Sam, he who owns the media makes the rules. So if the media is saying, hey, everybody wants this, then people, you know, think, well, I better be like everybody else. But in my opinion, you know, that's just how they lead it. They lead the witness.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And I, the reason I bring that up is, look, Americans want the health care solved. But when you have Congress stuck on stupid, no one's coming up with solutions like Sam Bushman proposes. No one's changing the game. It's just like, we're going to go back and try to twist some arms and do it in secret and tweak the plan and come back and get you to vote with the same socialist, deceptive plan. No wonder it's not going anywhere. No wonder not. Why don't we change the real discussion points? That's why Donald needs to come back and say, look, let's have a socialism discussion in America. Let's talk about legitimate government authority here. Let's talk about, and Donald could really change this game, but he doesn't have the guts, Kurt. He doesn't either have the knowledge and or the wherewithal or the will to do it. He's afraid politically. He talks big when it comes to bold no action items, but when it comes to really doing something that could have real solutions behind it, real answers, there's nothing there, Kurt, that I see. What's the most bold statement Donald's made on health care to get it done himself? And the answer is, he said, well, we might not really, by executive order, we might not make it to where the IRS can get you in trouble if you don't file your health care documents or whatever. But that's a maybe, Kurt. And I appreciate him doing that big time. It's better than nothing, for sure. But it isn't the epic sea change we need to see at all. It's a token. We're going to put something in there so you can't say I did nothing and blame it on me plan. Do you see it different, Kurt, or is that?
Not that I could. I don't think so.
All right. I'll give you proof in the pudding. We finally got rid of this Rince Priebus character. Thank the heavens for that, right, Kurt?
Well, my favorite. Well, I'll bet he'll show up somewhere else, at least in my opinion. But Prince Priebus is, on the way out. You know, he's moving on, apparently.
But you know what? Donald fails to drain the cesspool. But I think the worst appointment he's ever submitted is John Kelly, new White House chief, getting sworn in today, Kurt, or whatever you want to say, or getting whatever. Look, this is disaster, Kurt. John Kelly is disaster. Do you know who this guy is?
You know, I don't. I mean, I couldn't give you any chapter and verse on him. Tell me more about him.
Well, look him up. Just type in Wikipedia, John Kelly, and you'll get plenty quick.
All right.
All right. Just look it up, and we'll talk about this. This guy is disaster. Number one, he's a general. Okay? So the hawkish generals at every turn are surrounding the Donald, number one. I'm not comfortable with that because it'll be very difficult when the consensus is war, 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 because the warmonger generals tied to the military-industrial complex are working together. That just doesn't spell well, in my opinion, at all. So that's the first problem with John Kelly. Second problem is he's leader of Homeland Security, one of the most unconstitutional, most abusive, violate the checks and balances agencies ever to come into existence, all under the Republican watch, now brought forward. We take this inside Homeland Security leader and turn him into the, quote, what? Top boss? Chief of staff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point.
All right, so how's all that going to work, Kurt? You think we're going to back off on asset forfeiture? We're going to back off on, military action or whatever with this guy?
You know, it would sure be a breath of fresh air if he was a military leader that understood that.
But he isn't.
Wouldn't it be nice, though, if he was one that said, hey, the only time we go to war is when somebody attacks us and we're defending ourselves. We're not, building up, world police.
You'd have to put Ron Paul in that position if you want that guy.
Yeah, it's a great point.
Mm-hmm. All right, now tell me about this guy from Wikipedia. Who is this John Kelly character?
Well, I can tell you that you know, according to them, you know, of course, he is the current White House Chief of Staff. Got in there basically today, you know, and was appointed. That part about Homeland Security was quite concerning as well.
Now, who put him in charge of Homeland Security, Kurt? How long has he been there? Any idea?
President Trump put him there. So about 6 months ago, January 20th. So he was now heading in there in the other place, born in Boston, Mass, to an Irish Catholic family.
Hang on, we'll tell you more in seconds. Sam and Kurt, Liberty Roundtable Live. Who is this John Kelly character? Disaster in the making, in my humble opinion. So much for draining the swamp.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live. Sam and Kurt, who is this John Kelly character, huh, Kurt?
You know, looking through the list of information of the, you know, pretty good size amount of information on Wikipedia about him. It shows that he basically, you know, started out in the military. You know, one of the things, I mean, he was looked like he was going to be drafted, so he signed up. And, you know, he's been in there for quite some time at a number of different posts and kind of rose up through the ranks on this Homeland Security thing. According to what it says here, they chose him because of his Southwest border expertise. He was sworn in by the Vice President, Mike Pence. I guess in April of this year, he spoke at George Washington University. He said, if lawmakers do not like the laws they've passed and we are charged to enforce, then they should have the courage and skill to change the laws. Otherwise, they should shut up and support the men and women on the front lines. At least I got to agree with that. He indicated days into the administration his interest in having the U.S.-Mexico border wall completed within 2 years. He said the U.S.-Mexico border wall would begin construction by the end of the summer. 2 days later, Kelly said he believed the border wall is essential, as there were tremendous threats such as drugs and individuals coming into the U.S. Kelly said of terrorism in May of 17, you know, May of this year, it's everywhere, it's constant, it's nonstop. The good news for us in America is we have amazing people protecting us every day. But it can happen here almost any time. His personal life, he's married in 1976, he married Karen Hernest. They had three children. In 2010, his 29-year-old son was killed in action when he stepped on a landmine. I don't see that he's, you know, divorced. Anyway, so at least he's a long-time married guy, you know what I'm saying?
So what do you say, pretty good guy, Kurt? You're liking this guy.
Well, no, I mean,
is he a member of the
like
Council
said,
on Foreign Relations? Is he an attorney?
I can't see that
who
part
is this
here.
Guy?
You know, about the CFR, I don't see that.
I find
that
interesting that none of what really is about this guy do we know much, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's a military guy.
They have children, he and his wife, and apparently he's still married to her from 1976 to now, which I find, you know, refreshing.
Amen to that.
Grateful for that, yeah.
But is this guy a good guy? Is he standing up for the American way and ideals and such?
You know, the concerns that I have especially would be, you know, having to do with the warmongering kind of idea. And, you know, there was a quote that said that his first, you know, thing overseas that he did was, you know, way back when he was... you know, quite young. It said before he reached the age of 16, he hitchhiked to Washington State and rode the trains back, including a freight hop from Seattle to Chicago. Most of us did some crazy things when we were younger. Then he served for 1 year in the United States Merchant Marine, where he says, my first time overseas, we was taking 10,000 tons of beer to Vietnam. That's not exactly...
that's the kind of guy you want. Just take all the beer over to Vietnam and let the soldiers just soak it up in suds when the going gets tough, huh?
They say his net worth is $4 million.
So he's kind of a poor guy compared to most of them.
Yeah, good point.
Poor guy just running around on pauper fumes, isn't he?
They say I think he had some Catholic schools in his history. But anyway... I suppose it could be worse, and, you know, in my opinion, it could be better. You know?
Yeah, I'm of the opinion this is kind of one of the worst appointments Donald can make. He's losing too much capital on replacing people, ladies and gentlemen. Too much political capital going to replacing these people and then finding himself in just as bad of a situation as he was in my humble opinion. It's disaster. It really is disaster. So our prayers are with Donald, our prayers are with John Kelly, but I don't have a lot of hope for that. All right, now I want you to tell me about Hope Hicks, Kurt, because there's an interesting twist in the news. There's a lot of sites now talking about, they say, the planned conspiracy. You got Rince Priebus or John Kelly or some of these people, and you know what? What you really got is a systematic shutting down of the, quote, insiders by the ultimate insider. So do you know who Hope Hicks is, Kurt?
Well, they, according to Google anyway, she's a political figure. She's an American public relations executive. She's the White House Director of Strategic Communications, and she's President Donald J. Trump's longest-serving political aide.
Now, let me stop you there for a second. Say, isn't it interesting when we shuffle all these chairs on the Titanic, when Donald hammers the media, when all these things happen, how often do you hear about this, quote, mild-mannered former model that's not regularly in the news, Kurt?
That's, not much.
So I got a question. Is Donald kind of snookered the insiders by creating the ultimate insider against the insider?
Maybe I don't understand what you're saying. I think one of the reasons they're not going to pump up a lot about a woman there is, you know, because Donald's supposed to be against women.
Yeah, but Donald could promote this woman all the time, Kurt.
Well, right.
But apparently, why doesn't he? How come she's just behind the scenes so quiet?
Well,
she played an early, crucial, consequential role in Donald's administration in the Trump campaign. She has the current White House Director of Strategic Communications. That doesn't get more powerful than that, does it, Kurt? She stays out of the limelight, but she could be regularly seen at Trump's side and in the background of every consequential moment in the White House, Kurt. How does that happen?
You know, like you said, she was a teenage model. I guess she even had her Ralph Lauren campaign with her older sister. And that was, at age 11 is the face of, anyway, she spent some time there in her work with Trump. It tells a little bit more detail there. I can't really add much, on the Hope Hicks
thing. Well, some are saying that Hope Hicks is systematically sabotaging everyone inside of Trump's orbit for her own diabolical purposes. Now, I don't think it's for her own purposes, but I think it may be for the Donald. I think there's a greater agenda going on here than we know, Kurt.
All right.
Now, the reason I say that is because we hear so much about this person, that person. Oh, my gosh, Bannon this. And, oh, my goodness, Kellyanne Conway that. And, oh, my goodness, so-and-so, Sarah, whatever's going to do this. And you hear about all these figures circling around and getting fired and bringing about a new person and rinse this and man, Mike Pence that but really Hope Hicks is at the behest of all these decisions. How do I know this, Kurt? Because I've experienced personally Hope Hicks, Kurt.
All right. You want to go into detail?
Well, when we interviewed both Donald Trump's sons, it was Hope Hicks that attacked us when the mainstream press jumped the board to attack us. Hope Hicks wouldn't get a hold of us, wouldn't talk to us, wouldn't communicate with us in any way, but she was the biggest one to attack us and manipulate things against us. We supposedly had Hope Hicks' personal email and phone number to communicate with her, but we could never make contact with her. You think that's by accident, Kurt?
I don't know, Sam, but it sure doesn't seem right. The political.com boys have the headline, The Untouchable Hope Hicks. It says Trump's subheadline, Trump's 28-year-old communications advisor has earned the president's trust by letting him do just as he pleases when it comes to dealing with the press. Well, when you have a boss, you pretty much do what your boss wants. It's how you keep your job, I think.
Yeah, is she untouchable?
Well, that's what they say. I guess she was celebrating a family wedding at a Bermuda golf club. This is the weekend after Donald Trump was elected president when she overheard members of another party expressing dismay about his victory. The young press secretary was off duty, but she couldn't help inserting herself into the conversation at the next table. She said, "I promise he's a good person." She begged him not to worry, according to multiple people who witnessed the exchange. She seems...
I got a question. Is she the communications director of a shadow government, Kurt?
I don't know.
How about an intentional government overthrow? Very strange brew, ladies and gentlemen.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. The effort called CalExit was thrown a lifeline this week when California's Attorney General said that the state will allow the last CalExit group to collect signatures for the right of the state to leave the union. Now, the group needs to collect 585,000 signatures to qualify to be on the ballot. If passed, the initiative would create a commission to recommend ways in which California could pursue independence, gain more autonomy, and change its constitution so that it would no longer be inseparable from the United States. Under the initiative, California would not be its own independent country. Instead, it would somehow remain a fully functioning sovereign and autonomous nation, but stay in the 50 states. The company producing iPhone for Apple in China is, as you may have heard, going to build a big manufacturing plant in Wisconsin, a $10 billion plant. According to the president, the company Foxconn, which has a reputation of not treating its workers very well, will create at least 3,000 jobs and potentially 1,300 jobs in that part of the Midwest. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
For commentary and insights on a troubled world delivered to your inbox weekly, think Joel Skousen's weekly internet news analysis service. Subscribe today to this one-of-a-kind news source. WorldAffairsBrief.com.
10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
We taught you skip stones.
My dad.
Family. Isn't it about time?
He must be good.
Yeah, my mom taught him.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Donald Trump in the news. He put together an epic tweet. The problem is I think it's all talk. The Senate Conservatives brings me the details. Kurt, Trump, tweet, end Obamacare bailouts. Do you know about these?
No, but you brought them up a little earlier, and, you know, as far as that goes, if you eliminate a lot of, like, say, we've talked about this in the whole solar thing, if you eliminate the subsidies and things like that for the different deals, and in this case the subsidies or the extra money paid by government to make sure that people can pay for their the required fees for participating in Obamacare, then the individual would have to pay the whole thing.
There's two bailouts. One is for the insurance companies. They're all getting a big old, you know, stipend of subsidies to make sure they do the Obamacare plans, right? The second group that gets a bailout is Congress. They don't have to do the Obamacare thing, Kurt. They have their own special privilege subsidy program. So Donald is threatening to say Congress will force you into the pool with everybody else, number one. And number two, we're going to shut down the incentives to these companies, these subsidies to the companies. Now, I think Donald's right on target. Right before the break, I had mentioned about this. Why doesn't Donald get that done? Well, now he's threatening to do that, Kurt.
Good.
Well, but look, is Donald really going to do it, Kurt? He threatened to lock up Hillary, too.
Yes, he did.
He isn't going to get anything done on this, Kurt. He does not have the guts. He does not have the intestinal fortitude to get it done.
Well, it'd sure be cool if he did.
Amen to that. And by the way, my goal is to really, hopefully Donald will overhear this conversation. He'll decide, yes, I do. That's right. Get it done, Donald. I sure hope you do. And I sure hope you get it done. Quit wasting time with the threats. You don't have much time in your presidency left. You've already squandered 6 months of it. Now get it done. Force Congress to deal with things. But I don't see anything but empty threats, Kurt. But it's all okay, Kurt, because Apple's decided there's no more nanos and no more shuffles. No problem, Kurt. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. No more nanos and no more shuffles.
Do you know what a nano and a shuffle is, Kurt?
iPad iPod Nano and iPod Shuffle. Those old products that they're not going to make anymore.
Yeah, because by the time you got the iPad, the iPhone, all your smartphones, by the time you got the Alexa devices or the Echo devices, and by the time you got all these new, you know, they got a Microsoft answer to this, they got a Google answer to this, those devices are everywhere. There's just not a need for these MP3 players anymore.
There you go.
So an era has gone by.
By the way, on the Hope Hicks thing, apparently she worked for Ivanka before, she was part of the Trump administration.
Team. But I'm just telling you right now, for such an influential position, we know nothing about her, and she simply stays out of the limelight. That makes you wonder. And when Donald Trump
in one
acts
of the,
so big on one hand, on the other hand, you don't know what his real agenda is. You wonder if there's a shadow government being set up, Kurt.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Now, I got an email from another group that I want to mention that relates to this.
Mm-hmm.
Headline, the shadow government is executing one disturbing plot to end Trump. Now, that's what all the conservatives are saying, right?
All right.
I don't believe it, Kurt. You got to wonder, is Barack and Trump and Clinton all working together to make us believe in this so-called epic divide? But the truth is, they're all working together.
Very good. Sure
could
be.
Is the shadow government really trying to take down the Donald? Or is that just a for consumption view the conservatives pitch? Now, maybe many conservatives are deceived on this. But all I know is this. Donald would not have got elected if the insiders weren't for him. Right, Kurt? Or do you really believe there are going to be an epic upset?
Here's what I think, Sam. It's in the case of the our own Freedom of Information Act request from the federal government and that of my brothers. We got some very damaging information in that could have been used or could be used by us with the right attorneys to, get a pretty good settlement, I think. But I think when you get a big government, sometimes... it's tough to manage everything there. And in my opinion, that may be the case here.
So do you think that Donald got elected without the insiders, quote, permission or blessing, if you will?
Well, he certainly doesn't fit the exact role that we've seen in the past.
The traditional role.
But like you say, there's certainly... We couldn't put it past them. We just hope for
If he did get elected without their blessing and without their knowledge, in other words, it was a true upset, if that's really true, do you think they'd let him live?
Well, we saw this with who I think Ronald Reagan, and at least the last one that I could almost point to as being, maybe a... an outsider that got elected. But typically what happens is the insiders, the kingmen, they try to surround them with their minions, if you will. And that's been pretty effective for them, I believe. This may lead you to understand or think that Hope Hicks is one of those. I guess she earns $180,000 a year, in her job there. She's the political boys say she's different from his other aides. She stays off television, which has given her some cover and credibility.
Now, is that what you would
media.
Think the communication director would and should do?
Well, it's hard for me to know exactly what the definition of what each one of these are supposed to do. But if it's what her boss wants her to do, then I would say that's a good move. Here they say she's never lied on the record in service of the president.
Liar!
I'm just saying
she's lied about
political
me personally,
says.
Kurt.
Well, this is what the political story says.
All right. Well, they
lied. She declined to comment for this story, and she turns down most media requests that come her way because she prefers to serve the president without a spotlight shining on her. In a White House staffed with aides pushing their competing personal agendas, Hicks stands apart as a loyalist. This is what the political.com boys say. Stands apart as a loyalist who is there solely because of her commitment to Trump and his family, who isn't eyeing the next job up the food chain. And $180,000
paycheck doesn't really hurt.
Yeah, good point. She's sometimes treated like an extended family member of the close-knit clan. She has joined Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump for Shabbat dinner. I guess that's a Jewish thing, I think, at their Kalorama mansion, and stood shoulder to shoulder with the Trump family during an audience earlier this year in Rome with the Pope, along with other inner circle aides. So,
all right, well, I need you to quit saying Tom Brady's old, Kurt. I know that's a big problem with you.
All right. Well, you know, that's what they say. Apparently, Sam, the guy's, well, he just turned 40. They're suggesting that maybe there's still life in him, even though he's now turned 40. I think there's plenty of players in the NFL that would kind of prefer that he would retire, Sam. You guys won a lot of games, and Tom Brady, they call him the celebrated quarterback. He's Jason Gay is the author here. That worries me a little bit, but anyway, they say, come on, it isn't so crazy. Speaking as someone in his 40s, let me confirm that 40 isn't that decrepit. It's barely halfway to dead, this guy says. Brady's undoubtedly special, and football is a dangerous game, but all around us, there are miraculous 40-year-olds who can still put on both shoes in the morning, who can download a podcast, who can make an emergency turkey sandwich at 2 a.m. and not wake the entire family. Then this author says, there are even a few that can explain Snapchat. he says, age is purely a number. The cliche has never been more true. Today, he says, I know people that work at this 80-something men and women that, you know, go after things. He says he knows some 70-something triathletes, 60-something runners, and a whole bunch of CrossFit sculpted 50-somethings you don't want to get trapped in a conversation about CrossFit with. He says, the one and only Kirk Douglas is now 100, and I'm certain I would lose an arm wrestling match to 100-year-old Kirk Douglas. Anyway, kind of an interesting article about Tom Brady turning 40.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, Liberty Roundtable Live.
The outlook wasn't brilliant for the Mudville Nine that day. The score stood 4-2, one inning more to play. Then all 5,000 throats recoiled upon the flat for Casey. Mighty Casey was advancing to the bat. Close by the sturdy batsman, the ball unheeded sped.
That ain't my style,
said Casey.
Right what?
The umpire said. She signaled to the pitcher. Once more the spheroid flew.
I think I'll just ignore it.
And the umpire said,
right two.
Now, something different than we read about in the poem. Casey thought of Mom and Dad and time she spent at home. She relaxed, she smiled, her confidence, it grew, and above the roar of the crowd, she heard her dad shout,
follow through!
Somewhere, men are laughing and children having fun. And tonight, there's joy in Mudville, for mighty Casey hit a home run.
Family, isn't it about time? From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, Inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free Vigor Score test today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, Sam and Kurt, news the networks refuse to use. All right, Kurt, interesting little tidbit for you. Couple of stories here. It only took hackers 90 minutes to compromise a voting machine. Philip Stuckey writes the details. I guess they had a contest to see how quick somebody could hack voting machines, and it only took 90 minutes, Kurt. So there's no vote fraud. You can be comfortable now.
Well, that's a great point, Sam. I mean, nobody would do that.
There you have it. All right. Thought would bring that to your attention. Now, Kurt, you know what this Foxconn company is? Do you know the details about this?
Well, a little bit. I mean, they've basically been great suppliers for Apple over in China, making a lot of Apple products and making a lot of money, but they've had some troubles maybe with their employees.
Yeah, my problem with this whole thing is the conservatives are pitching this as an awesome thing, Kurt. And I don't see it as an awesome thing at all. I think that the conservatives are losing their minds. So Scott Walker taking a bunch of credit. They say this lavish lure to get Foxconn to Wisconsin. It's going to be awesome. That's the story, Kurt. But I'm not buying it. And when you read the articles about this, article New York Times business section talks about, they say it's a heavy price tag for Wisconsin taxpayers. You say, what? Yeah. You know how much it's going to be, Kurt? $3 billion.
When I read the story, you know, there was a whole bunch of zeros with it to get them to move there. At least I know when companies typically make these moves now, they say to the potential governments or the potential suitors, they say, look, you know, we'll bring you jobs, we'll bring you infrastructure, at least spending and all that kind of stuff. We see it around here as well. I just wish that for governments to, instead of handing out goodies to them, just to lower the taxes and the regulations on everybody so that everybody can enjoy, you know, the fruits of less government, and less taxes, less regulations.
Now, I find that interesting. They say this dwarfs the normal incentive package, Kurt.
Yeah, it means it's a big one.
Now, why would Mr. Walker celebrate this news, Kurt? Where are the conservatives here to stand up for what's going on? You're talking about $3 billion, Kurt? The so-called bring this Foxconn to Wisconsin, etc. Trump promoting it as this big, awesome thing, and Scott Walker now doubling down on socialism. I thought these guys were the good guys, Kurt.
Well, the thing you have to remember, at least in my opinion, we've got to look for the good here and try to figure it out. I would much rather have a whole bunch of those Wisconsinites, working a job that may mean that they pay a little bit into the Uncle Sam coffers, instead of just sitting there waiting for a government check. At least in my opinion, that's an improvement. Now, you know, I'm sure that I would have done it differently, Sam, but, we see this, governments all over the world do this, and if ours apparently isn't going to do it, then we're not going to get them.
Should we celebrate with Scott Walker?
That's the way it is. Well, I'd celebrate that there are going to be a number of people in America with a job. And maybe not as many little Chinese slaves where they would, you know, take them out and shoot them to harvest their organs. So at least in, you know, several parts there, I could celebrate. I'd like to celebrate the whole thing, you know, the whole.
Should we bring up the idea that, hey, Even though Scott Walker and Donald Trump are celebrating their big win, the lavish lure gets Scott Foxconn to Wisconsin. Everybody's all happy about it. Should I bring this up, Kurt, that hey, it's a heavy price tag for Wisconsin taxpayers, $3 billion in state tax credits that dwarf the normal credit that usually is given or whatever? Or should we bring this up, you think, or should we just celebrate?
Well, you know, the thing I like to do with typically everything, it's, you know, for example, with honey, some people will say, well, you can buy sugar cheaper than honey. And I say, well, you got to look at the bottom line with each purchase. And in this case, let's say we're the Wisconsinians, I don't know how you say that, Wisconsinites, are buying, a company to come there and to, employ people and that kind of thing. So then you'd have to add all the, costs, and then you'd have to add all the benefits and try to figure out, what was the bottom line. In an America where, we've sent our corporations, our factories overseas for so long, we almost celebrate any, return to our shores where people can have a job and that kind of thing in these days, don't we?
Amen to that. And it's hard for me to know if we should celebrate it or raise the warning alarm. But to me, it turns out, Donald Trump and Scott are kind of socialist on this. They're acting like it's a big, awesome opportunity, but I don't really see it that way. Now, this isn't the only
case.
I mean,
just imagine if they had gone about it differently. They said, look, so that we could, attract Foxconn, we've literally lowered eliminated a whole bunch of these job crippling regulations that we found here in Wisconsin. We've eliminated them, not just for Foxconn, but for everybody else. We've lowered the taxes so that they wouldn't have these huge costs. We've done our best to attract them with, the proper role of government. I mean, just imagine if they went about it that way, right, Sam?
Man, it would be a delight to see, and that's the whole reason we bring it up. To say, hey, you know what? I'm for Foxconn coming to the United States. That's wonderful. And I want to celebrate with everybody else. But when they start to say there's a heavy price tag for Wisconsin taxpayers, I just don't think the taxpayers ought to take a beating over this. Now, Kurt Crosby celebrating a proposal of freedom, of competition, of less regulation, of the proper role of limited government, of the free markets being allowed to work. In that kind of an environment, I'd have nothing but celebration. And that's why we bring it up. We advocate for that. By the way, Texas and California are kind of in an epic battle.
Well, that's right.
Flatlining, right, Kurt?
That's right. They say Texas is booming. This is a CNSNews.com piece. It says Texas, the nation's second most populous state, of course, that's behind California, had the fastest growing economy in the nation. In the first quarter of this year, with its state GDP growing at a real annual rate of 3.9%. By contrast, they say California, the nation's most populous state, ranked 42nd out of 50 states for first quarter economic growth. They say Nebraska had the worst economic performance of any state in the first quarter. West Virginia had the second best economic performance. I'm just surprised. New Mexico had the third best performance. The Texas economy, according to the BEA, that stands for Bureau of Economic Analysis, and of course you'll have a hard time finding that in the Constitution, but anyway, was driven up by a boom in the mining sector and by a large increase in manufacturing. California's economy was dragged down by the arts, entertainment, and recreation sector. Anyway, the bottom line, at least to me with this, pretty detailed article, is that if I'm comparing California and Texas, I would say California is more of a big government state. I mean, I'm not saying Texas is all freedom, but if you compare the two, well, I don't think there's much comparison.
No question. But it also, and the reason I bring up these stories kind of back to back, if you will, is because I'm convinced this is the problem and the solution. highlighted, in my opinion, it's highlighted about we should use this as a discussion generator to say, what's the difference, Kurt?
Well,
does that make
freedom,
sense?
I would say, you know, a
little
bit.
The free market
I'm not
work?
Telling you that Texas is all freedom, but as compared to California, I just think it's a massive difference.
Yeah, it looks like the Foxconn plants $10 billion to build, Kurt.
Yeah, it's a pretty good
$3 billion in tax subsidies to make happen. You got that in Wisconsin. You got California melting down. Texas doing quite well. Texas is not the bastion of freedom I'd like to see based on free market principles, but they're a sight better, that's for sure. And in my opinion, in that discussion, we could highlight a lot of the differences. And I think we should really highlight a lot of those differences.
Great point.
Because I think in that, you find many solutions. Now, Kurt, if you brought up this idea that, hey, wouldn't it be nice if idea, and I agree with it 1,000%. What if Texas was doing what you think they ought to do? Or in other words, we the free market folks, the competition, the less regulation, the less taxation guys think ought to be done. I mean, you see a contrast between the two, and they kind of quote these numbers, right? Texas booms
right.
plus 3.9% mm-hmm. and California flatlines at 0.1%. They're talking about mining, manufacturing, driving growth there. Just imagine if they did the free market the way Kurt proposed. What do you think the numbers would look like then, Kurt?
Well, I can't even imagine. In my opinion, it would just, it may be 10 times the amount, Sam, you know. The 10 times difference, you know. Imagine if Texas did that and even restored honest money. I mean, you know, you know, it's just incredible.
USA Today, and we'll get into this next broadcast. We're flat out of time, but USA Today saying Google pledges $50 million for 21st century job market. So is that good? Remember, Google's the socialist company that got its whole start from government money. But now it's their time to give back, huh? All right, there you have it. 2 hours in the can. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. You want to donate and get involved in the solutions? We'd love it. In every way, we need your help, folks. LibertyRoundtable.com. For Sam and Kurt, we declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. The only question left is, will you help? We declare this nation shall endure.